Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, as we are gathered here, we gather because of the invitation and the welcome that is ours in Christ Jesus. And as Christ's people, it is our intent, our hope, to live out that same spirit of welcome, with arms wide open to all who come into this fellowship. So friends, wherever you find yourself in your journey of life and faith, know that you are welcome here, and it is good that you are here. As we begin our worship, I hope you will take time to look at all the different announcements for opportunities for generosity and education that are in our bulletin. Next Sunday is the Consecration Sunday worship and lunch. There will be something said about that here in just a little bit, but be sure you've made that put that on your calendar. Also, there will be on the 19th, the evening of Sunday the 19th, a joint service with St. Paul's Lutheran Church over at their church on Steritania Road. I'll be preaching, and Anita will be, my wife will be leading in worship. It's an opportunity to see how we get along doing that. So if you'd like to come and see that. But come and give thanks to God and stay for a dessert reception afterward. You may notice that the candles look a little bit troubled this morning. Normally, we would have plenty of oil in the candles. There was a wedding here yesterday, and the pictures after the wedding took a considerable amount of time. And David, unfortunately, I did not instruct him to refill the candles with oil, so I don't think they're going to make it. So, but it's not an indication of the absence of the Holy Spirit. Please be aware of that. Just wanted you to know about that. Keith, did you have anything you wanted to add this morning? Anyone else? Well, let's take a few moments and greet one another as sisters and brothers in Christ.
Would you join me in the call to worship? We gather to affirm the warmth of our faith, giving thanks. Next, the forms whenever Christ gathers us, for the caring that marks us. We gather to receive the nourishment of our faith, giving thanks. Sacrament release within us. We gather to celebrate the texture of our faith, giving thanks for the rich variety that characterizes us as a family, for the multiple ministries that call us into God's service. We give heartfelt thanks for a faith to savor and to share.
Because our God is a God of love who is waiting to be gracious to us, let us with confidence draw near to God and confess our sins together. God of grace, in kindness, you call us your own children and cover us with your love. We would seek to be merciful as you are and to show compassion as you do, but we so often fail to live the life to which we have been called. Where we ought to forgive, we condemn. The evil we should avoid, we embrace. Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive our sin, tame our wayward wills, and make us more like Christ until that day we are complete in him. Amen. As far as the east is from the west, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far do I remove your sin from you, says the Lord. Friends, hear and believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, our sin is forgiven. Amen.
We are called to be God's people, showing by our lives God's grace, one in heart and one in spirit, sign of hope for all the race. Let us show how God has changed us and remade us as God's own. Let us share our life together as we shall around God's throne.
May be seated.
We're always pleased to have the children in church. I'd like to welcome them to the front this morning. Do you guys sometimes give money to the church? In Sunday school, have you put offerings in the plate, that kind of thing? Okay, and we had been collecting to buy a book for another church to thank them for their ministry to us, and we delivered those this week to thank them, and so your offering went to help with to tell the congregation how much we love them and are grateful for their ministry to us. But do you bring lots of money every week? Do you put it in the offering plate when it comes around here? It's kind of an unusual thing for me to ask you, isn't it? We don't expect children to do that. That would be a little unusual. Yet, did you know that it's expensive to have you here? For you to come? It is expensive. There's curriculum to buy, and the craft materials, the supplies that we make crafts with, your snacks. You guys eat lots of snacks. Transportation, getting you for walk club. We're listening. We're listening now. The transportation to run the van, to pay me and the other staff to have to work. There's lights and there's heat and there's water to drink for the bathrooms, to wash our hands. But you know what? You don't have to give money. Your godparents, all those people out there, they promised at your baptism that they would do that for you. They did. They keep the church going until the day you're old enough to give and take care of the children who come after you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I'm going to turn off my mic here for a minute. Let's say a prayer. Bless, O God, the children of our church as they grow in faith and learn to follow your Son. In his name we pray. Let all God's people say, Amen. Thank you, children. Nice job.
Of your mighty
Would you join me in the prayer for illumination? Come, Holy Spirit, so that these ancient words may speak to us with a new voice. Guide our hearing and our understanding so we may see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, today and every day. Amen. The Christian scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 15, found on page 183 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles, if you would like to follow along. This scripture is part of a bigger story. As Paul traveled to teach the good news to non-Jewish people in Greece and Asia Minor, the original church in Jerusalem, a mostly Jewish congregation, was suffering economic hardship. The wealthy Corinthians had promised to collect an offering, and in the meantime, Paul boasted about this to the Macedonians. In response, the poorer Macedonians took up a very generous offering for Jerusalem. Now Paul was concerned that the Corinthians might not actually do as they promised. An important question was unresolved. Would the wealthy Corinthian Christians be generous toward the suffering Jewish Christians? For Paul, this raised not only financial questions, but questions of faithfulness. Who are we to each other in the church? How is our giving and sharing a reflection of what we believe? Listen as we hear Paul's words. Now, it is not necessary for me to write to you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has been stirred up by most of them. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go ahead on you, to see you, and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift, the word of the Lord.
Every time I hear that portion of the letter read out loud, when it gets to that part about extortion, I'm wondering if Paul is not teasing them a little bit, if a little tongue-in-cheek. It's hard to tell, but every time I hear it read out loud, I think, really? It's hard to tell. Well, a group of Waysiders this fall have been studying prayer, and we've had a chance to learn about a number of different ways to pray and to practice those prayers. And one of the things that I have found a comfort through the trials and errors of prayer is the word of the Apostle Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans, where he writes, "We do not always know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit that searches our hearts intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words." There is for me, as we've been going through this study, and I hope for you in your life, a great comfort in that idea, especially as regards our own deep personal unknowns and mysteries, the incomplete prayers that we remember for others, the prayers for people we carry around in our hearts all the time. When words fail and the actual doing of prayer fails, it is a help to know that God is reaching toward us, even as we are oftentimes poor at reaching back. Also, in our life of prayer, there's another side of things: our unspoken gratitude, our failure at times to give thanks, to be thankful. We're big on the obligation to be thankful, but often we do fail at it, or we misguide it, or we are overcome by life and we do not express the thanks that is throbbing at the center of our comforted and supported self. Not long ago, in a sermon, we remembered Anne Lamott, who has written that the two most basic prayers are first, help, and then the second, thanks. And so, with Paul's permission, I think we can express thanks for the Spirit who knows our heart and knows the depth of gratitude that is in us that so often our words fail to express. An outpouring of gratitude. This is where Paul winds up in this wild and at times pretty manipulative sounding note to the folks at Corinth. His main theological point in his asking for the people of Corinth to give generously is that the outcome is expected to be an outpouring of thanks to God. Seriously, Paul kind of ramps up the language there. He predicts a fountainhead of thanks spraying, and I'm taking license here, a multicolored cavalcade of thanks in rhythm to songs of gratitude. And after everything he has said up to this part of the letter, it's all truly improved by this one point, that the end point, the guiding star of all giving is thanksgiving and gratitude that will change people's hearts, change people's lives, change the world. This thanksgiving is rooted in God because God is the prime mover in everything, giving life to every living thing. God, who is the before and the during and the after of all that is, God, the story of whom has brought us all together in this place, God, whose faithfulness has always been a gift to us. But this thanksgiving is also deeply connected to the acts of people and how people open heart and hand to pour forth into the lives of others the kind of generosity that they received from God. Think of it, from our first preconscious cry as our infant self cradled in the arms of a caring person, and then moving forward in literally thousands of ways every day, we know God's generosity from the hands of others. So then, our words and our actions and the substance of our work, the food we have shared, the welcome we have given, the compassion and kindness we have shown, and yes, the money we give, it makes a difference in someone else. Really, it does. And not so that we get credit for that, or so that they look over at me or at you and say, oh, thank you. But that in their hearts, they experience the truth that we hold dear and that we proclaim. The truth that you are a beloved child of God and you are worth everything to the Creator of your life. My goodness, what possible price can we put on that? If anyone knows that beloved truth at the depth of their being, that it has come from God, and it has also come from people whose generosity has made it possible for you and I and anyone to know it. Well, Paul is clearly looking for the Corinthians to make an offering. But clearly, it is not first and foremost about the amount. He wants those who are supported and cared for through it to have hearts full of thanksgiving. And gratitude opens the heart. Gratitude opens avenues to friendship. Gratitude makes possible the kind of risk-taking that love initiates, the risk to care and to forgive, to redeem expectations. Those thanksgivings are each unique and from a place deep within the human heart. They may be spoken or sung, and they may be so profound that words cannot say enough the depth of such thanks. But this does not matter. The human heart throbbing with deep gratitude resonates deeply with the Creator. It makes it clear that God's ongoing grand experiment is working. The kind of generosity God shows is then being shown by the creatures. The deep-hearted thanks is not necessary for God's ego, but joyous to the Creator to perceive in the creatures. It's like the song of the angels. We want to participate in that. The first package of offering envelopes I was given as an elementary-aged child said in script words right on the front, the words of Paul, God loves a cheerful giver. And I admit, at that age, 8 or 9, I didn't have any money except at birthday and Christmas time. Still, when I did have some, It was a pleasant thing to be part of the celebration of giving. It made my heart glad to put my offering in with everyone else. You know, it could have made a huge difference to those Jewish Christians in Jerusalem back in the first century to know God's love and care coming through the generosity of Gentiles, people who had been outside the faith, now working with God's love to stir their hearts to thanksgiving. It's a wonderful thing to give without knowing the many and mysterious ways that God's work will be done. To know that lives are touched and that thanks is the deep and honest expression that comes with the faith that God loves all God's children. Amen. The tradition throughout the church is that the first day of November is All Saints' Day, but we try to celebrate that and Sunday as close around that date as we can. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Amen. So we light this candle as a way of remembering. And on this All Saints Sunday, we give thanks for the life of faithful members of Wayside Presbyterian Church and all whom we have loved who have entered into life eternal. We have a listing of those members of the church and those of loved ones. And what we'll do, though, is begin this time with a silent prayer so that we may remember those who may not be on this list and those who have passed in years before, that we may remember them with thanksgiving. Let us begin with silence.
Douglas Boyd, Jr.
Joan Bush.
Mary Carlson.
Janet Crossman.
Don Denon.
Virginia Jones Edwards.
Joan Gebhardt.
Sarah Harrington.
Mary Jane Heisowitz.
Elizabeth Betty Irvin.
Richard Skip Laisel.
Irene Marabito.
Sarah Sally Lacey Nixon.
Dick Pearson.
Bill Ralph.
Harold D. Reed.
Charles Chad Robertson.
Paula Harrington Robertson.
Bill Sessler.
Felicia Scala.
William Henry Steinbrenner.
Sharon Sunday.
Carl Sundberg.
Robert Ward. With thanksgiving, O God, we have named these beloved saints, grateful for their lives and for the goodness, love, and truth that have passed from their lives into the lives of others. We are grateful for your forgiving and redeeming love at work in them so that they shine in the memories of those who love them. And so we have examples of life and faithfulness to follow stories to share and tales to tell, and laughter and tears to make holy what we hold in our hearts. Help us to live with faithfulness and joy as your forgiven and redeemed people to that day when we will see you face to face. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Please turn to the prayers and let us share in them together. We continue to pray for those named here that we have mentioned in days past. We're grateful for those who serve around the world, for Devin Johns and her ministry. Proud of our confirmation class and all those who are supporting them with mentors and parents and all of your prayers. The Cochranton Presbyterian Church is in our prayers today. They are searching for a new pastor and going through the process of understanding their mission. We pray for them in the days ahead. And we're very grateful for Hal Kelly, who is honorably retired, and for Gretchen, who have chosen to retire here with us and continue their ministry and do good things in our midst. God bless them both. Let us prepare ourselves for prayer. Holy Spirit, each week we offer a prayer that encompasses our lives from beginning to end. We acknowledge births and deaths, weddings and special occasions, blessings and tragedies, illness and health. Here we affirm your care for us in all our days. On this Sunday, we celebrate the birth of Blake to Lindsay, Christopher, and their good families. We ask your blessing on Maureen and Matthew as they begin their marriage together. And pray that Leslie and all those who have struggled with illness and injury recover well. Be with the churches of our presbytery and our pastors and spouses that their ministries continue to be helpful to those they serve. May all the islands and states devastated by storms continue to rebuild and find their way back to a normal pattern of living. Although we often wonder what that pattern is, for all our lives face challenges and blessings in unpredictable patterns. So as we do each week, we pray that you will be with us and guide us and all whom we love and all those whom only you know. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite Elder Paul Carpinetto to please come forward and offer our minute for mission.
Good morning. I'm here on behalf of the Generosity Committee. We've had announcements about stewardship the last two Sundays, and yes, you're going to hear one more today. Why is stewardship important to me? Wayside is a very special place, and I don't mean the building, although the building certainly is a part of Wayside. When we moved to Erie 29 years ago, we looked for a church home for about a year, and we finally decided that Wayside was the best place for our family. Why? Three reasons. First, there's not a specific dogma that is taught or that worshipers are expected to follow. Second, Wayside is a community of people with diversity of thought, beliefs, and opinions. There's a variety of beliefs in theology, and it's accepted. Third, as the welcoming statement says, be who you are and be welcome here. We want to welcome all people and people who may not be welcome in some other places of worship. I see Wayside as kind of a beacon in the fog that is calling us to a safe place, a place where both the mind and the spirit are nourished and where we strive to affirm the dignity and worth of every person. This is a primary reason Karen and I give financially to Wayside. God has blessed us with this wonderful and unique and special congregation that we call Wayside. Because it is so special and unique, I believe we need to preserve it. I believe we need to also help it to grow as we ourselves grow. We give a percentage of our income out of gratitude to God. Our stewardship campaign concludes next Sunday, November 12th, with our Consecration Sunday worship service and our celebration luncheon. We hope that all of you, if possible, will attend both the worship service and the luncheon next Sunday. Remember, this is not a potluck or a meal prepared by members or friends of the church. It is a catered meal, so we need you to make reservations. In a little while, the ushers will be distributing Consecration Sunday reservation cards. There have been questions regarding when do we get the pledge cards? Pledge cards will be distributed at both worship services on Consecration Sunday, next Sunday the 12th. For those who are unable to attend worship next Sunday, pledge cards will be mailed. If you filled out a Consecration Sunday reservation card last week, please do not take another card this week. Even if you are not attending worship or the luncheon next Sunday, we need you to complete a reservation card. To make sure we leave no one out, we will make contact this week with people from whom we do not receive a luncheon reservation card. So please help us out by completing your card. Now, if the ushers would come forward and distribute the Consecration Sunday reservation cards. As Don plays some special music, I'll give you a few minutes to complete your reservation card, and then the ushers will come back to pick them up. If you completed a card last week, you may want to use this time for prayer and meditation on the question, what percentage of my income is God calling me to give? Now, if the ushers would please come forward again to collect the reservation cards. Thank you for your attention and your prayerful consideration.
Let us make whatever offering we have decided to bring to God with thanksgiving and with hope. Gracious God, you've called us to be a holy priesthood, ministers in the midst of all your people throughout the world. Help us to care for others in the moments that you provide. May we sense your prodding to extend your grace to those we love, to those whose names we will never know. For it is with hope of sharing your love with everyone that we offer our gifts and our lives to serve as disciples of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let all God's people say, Amen. Please be seated.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit. Take my yoke upon you and find rest for your souls." Friends, this is the joyful feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus invites all who trust in him to come and share in this meal, for this is why he has given it to us. Friends, we may come from different traditions in Christ or no tradition at all, but this is the Lord's table, and as you come trusting in him, you are welcome here. Let's make our hearts ready for communion as we sing the communion hymn. Let us pray. All thanks and praise be to you, most holy God, giver of all life. You made us for companionship and shaped us for love. You gave us your good earth and taught us to care. You established your law that we might learn justice and give you honor with our lives. When we forget how to love and ceased to give and to give care, and we failed to abide by your life-giving law, you sent us prophets to call us back to you. And when that was not enough, you came, Word made flesh, yourself with us, and overwhelmed us with love.
In Jesus, you blessed us as never before. Thank you for the ways Jesus taught us in word and deed. Our good shepherd fed us in homes and on hillsides, healed us in body, mind, and soul, and showed us that true greatness is in humility and true power in weakness. How can we thank you for the gift of Christ that Christ gave? When the world did its worst, Jesus took on our death that we might be clothed in light and life. Raised to new life, still bearing the scars, Jesus promised us an advocate and guide. Thank you for the Spirit at work in us and among us, who strengthens and sustains, challenges and prods, gives us life and surprises us with signs of your unending grace.
Now pour out your Holy Spirit upon this bread and wine, that it may be to us the body and blood of Christ, and anoint us that we might be one with him and one another. With thanksgiving, we offer ourselves to you now, our bodies to do your work, our voices to sing your praise, grateful even now that when this earthly life is ended, you will welcome us home, where we will live in eternal joy with you and all the saints, bathed in light and lost in unending songs of praise, lifting our voices to pray together the prayer that Christ taught us, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night of his arrest, our Lord Jesus took bread. After giving thanks for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Throughout the ages and in many cultures, there have been many kinds of bread. If you are unable to eat wheat, this is for you, the body of Christ.
And after supper, he took the cup, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, remembering me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes again." These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," and so he is. Let us feed on him in our hearts with thanksgiving.
Jesus said, "Blessed are all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled."
Let us share in the prayer after the meal. Let us pray. O God, you have so greatly loved us, long sought us, and mercifully redeemed us. Give us grace in everything. We may give our will, our substance, and our action, an unending thank offering to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the countenance of the Lord be lifted up upon you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship and power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.